Coming up on KSDP News, the Tustamina Ferry has been delayed, and a river that used to feed into the Bering Sea has disappeared. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. The ferry vessel Tustamina has been delayed leaving a Ketchikan shipyard, likely setting back its sailing schedule by several weeks. Meadow Bailey is a spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Transportation.
Every spring, we take the Tustamina in for regular inspection and work. This year, though, the return to service is delayed because of some steel that needs to be replaced, and it's taking longer than we originally anticipated.
The Marine Highway System has scheduled the ferry to leave Ketchikan on May 23rd and began its service from Homer 4 days later. The Tustamina is slated to call in on Alaska for the first time on June 3rd. Bailey says the DOT acknowledges that this is a costly delay for many stops along its route.
There are communities where this is the regular vessel and there is not a replacement vessel, so when she's out of service, it has a huge impact.
The DOT is still planning to replace the ferry, with construction starting as early as this year. Designs are complete for the $240 million project. Officials say securing funding is the next step. Scientists are pointing to climate change as the reason a river that used to feed into the Yukon has nearly disappeared. A report published this week in Nature Geoscience says it's the first documented case of river piracy in modern times. As Elizabeth Jenkins of Alaska's Energy Desk reports, river piracy is when one river steals the flow of another.
Scientists knew the Kaskawalsh Glacier in northern Canada was shrinking, but they didn't expect it to cause a nearby lake to almost vanish, at least not so quickly.
Nobody's documented this as basically occurring under our noses.
Dan Sugar researches how landforms evolve at the University of Washington, Tacoma. And last fall, he set out with his colleagues to study the Slims River. It's fed by a series of ponds at the front of the Kaskawalsh Glacier. When he arrived, Sugar says he expected the river's current to be low.
But as it turned out, it was essentially no flow. So we couldn't actually do it. We couldn't put our instruments in the water. It was so shallow.
Did you have a nice vacation then?
Sugar
didn't spend the remainder of his time in Canada kicking back. His new mission became figuring out what happened to the Slims River. The body of water used to flow into the Kluane Lake and eventually into the Yukon River, which empties into the Bering Sea. But because of the glacier's melt, that water redirected.
The Kaskawalsh River essentially stole all of the water that would have otherwise flowed into the Slims River. So it pirated that flow. It captured that flow.
Now that water goes from the Kaskawalsh River to the Alsik River and all the way to the Gulf of Alaska, Sugar says due to the circumstances, this particular situation is unique. Still, the rapid pace at which it occurred serves as an important reminder.
Climate change is happening, and it's happening here. So we need to be keeping in mind that we may get thrown a few curveballs going forward.
So while the Kaskawalsh River was the pirate, Sugar says human-caused climate change was ultimately to blame. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
Ernestine Hayes was honored this year as the 17th Alaska State Writer Laureate. KTOO's Scott Burton has the story.
Ernestine Hayes may be best known because of her award-winning book, Blonde Indian, a memoir that chronicles the author's early life between Alaska and California. Beyond publications and awards, however, the state's writer laureate must be nominated to the Alaska State Council on the Arts. In this case, it was by Homer-based writer, poet, and teacher Erin Holloway, says Hayes.
I would like to flatter myself that she recognized lyricism in my prose.
Most know that prose refers to standard writing, or writing that is not poetry or drama for theater. But what is lyricism?
It is prose that has elements of poetry. So that when we say what is nonfiction, creative nonfiction, one common understanding is that it is nonfiction writing that has some of the characteristics and techniques of fiction. And for me, lyrical prose is like that, except it has some of the characteristics and techniques of that are commonly associated with poetry.
Here is an excerpt of Hayes' reading from Blonde Indian. Note how the writing, especially towards the end of the selection, could indeed be read from a poem.
And he'd never take another drink, and he'd be a good husband to Mabel, and a good father to Patricia, and even a good son to old Tom, and a good friend to everybody, and he would never let another swallow of salt water fill his mouth. My God, he should never have brought that last pint of vodka or even the beer. He couldn't feel the tears on his skin or hear his last bubbling gasp as his face sank into the cold, wet, hidden inlet where the smell of the ocean, the feel of the spray, the sound of the gulls, the taste of the salt, the sight of mountain, behind island, behind island, falling back and back in shadows and gray and dark green, would never change.
When the Laureate program in Alaska started in the early 1960s, it was only for poets. In the mid-1990s, the program broadened to include all genres of writing and is now a 2-year appointment. But being the laureate means more than talented writing. It includes working with Alaskans to promote literature and the arts. Another reason Hayes thinks she was selected was due to her recent participation in the Alaska Reads program. In February, she visited 15 communities personally and later an additional 18 communities via teleconference.
I did workshops and readings. I visited bookstores and I visited Highland Mountain. I visited different sorts of schools and incarcerated people and senior centers and Beans Cafe in Anchorage. And I just was thrilled and honored to meet so many Alaskans and hear their stories.
That program, Alaska Reads, was an initiative created by the outgoing writer laureate Frank Sos. Hayes says she also has a concept for what she'd like to accomplish.
Asking people of different generations to write and share their stories and perform one another's words.
In the meantime, Hayes can usually be found at the University of Alaska Southeast, where she teaches writing. In Juneau, I'm Scott Burton.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.